Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we will do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Caroline Fenton to the program from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline going to join us every Tuesday morning throughout college football season at 7 o'clock. Really looking forward to that. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
It's week zero, Robbie.
It is.
So I am just peachy. I'm doing great.
We've made it. I've missed college football so much, and we've made it. I know that we're now in the annual week of since Notre Dame's playing of everybody overhyping Notre Dame this week, which has been a lot of fun. But week zero is great stuff.
I'm used to that. I feel like Notre Dame every single year, along with Texas, just gets overhyped and talked about. And I have to give Notre Dame credit, really, for the most part. Like, Notre Dame is a fairly competitive team. Texas is the one for me. Like, are we really going to do this again? We're going to rank them in the top 10 yet again, and they're going to go 8-4 yet again. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. We're not going to learn our lesson, but that's fine. I think my Stanford for quality football in week zero is very low. But that's okay because it's football.
That's right. It's college football, and we've made it back to this point. So, Caroline, let's start on the week zero front. Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii, and Vanderbilt obviously a significant favorite in this game. Hawaii, not very good. We saw Vanderbilt go down there last year and thump them. Overall, when you look at this Vanderbilt team and the two SEC wins at the end of last season, A.J. Swan coming in here again at quarterback, what do you make of the team that Clark Lee has in year three here and what this team could be as they're trying to build on the momentum that they gained at the end of last year?
I mean, I've said it before. This is more of an overarching statement for the program itself, not necessarily just this season. But I think if there is anyone that can come in and just breathe life into this Vanderbilt program, it's Clark Lee. Because he truly believes what this program can become. And not that Derek Mason or James Franklin or any other coaches of the past didn't believe in it, because I think that they did. It feels different with Clark Lee. And I think you can see that the differences now than maybe a few years ago. It feels like a program that buys into something, that truly believes in something. And I think this year, a fair expectation for Vanderbilt, or maybe a ceiling for Vanderbilt, can be, making a bowl game. It's not an easy schedule necessarily, but I think that Vanderbilt can take advantage of a couple teams on their schedule that are down at the moment in the SEC. My hot take of the year, maybe this isn't a hot take, but I think Vanderbilt's going to beat Florida in back-to-back seasons. Has way too many questions going into this season. I don't think Florida is going to be a postseason team. So there's an SEC win on the schedule. I think Missouri coming into town at Vanderbilt, that's another win that can be on Vanderbilt's schedule. So that's two SEC wins right there, not adding on top of, maybe taking advantage of an Auburn that could be down this season. Maybe shocking South Carolina at the end of the season. I mean, there are absolutely pathways to a 6-plus win season for Vanderbilt. I think it just all comes down to what do they look like on the field this season. I think it's going to be a good offense. What does the defense look like? So I think that the expectations for Vanderbilt can be and really should be a 6-win season.
I guess I want to go off topic here. Not really, but sort of, because I'm with you. I'm excited about any sort of football this week. Week zero, and we're going to get into other actual football. But I did write about this today, Caroline, so I want to play a little buy-sell with you.
Okay? Ooh, okay.
And it's in regard to Vanderbilt, and I wrote about Vanderbilt and the potential that the next step here, or an eventual step here, is that Vanderbilt and other schools in the Big Ten, like Northwestern, Rutgers, whatever,
right,
are lopped off so that only the top football schools are making all that money. Buy or sell, Caroline, Vanderbilt will be an SEC member in 2033.
Oh, buy that 100%.
Okay.
Absolutely buy. I don't think that Vanderbilt or any other school, like maybe a Northwestern, has any business in leaving the comfort of their conferences right now.
Well, they won't leave. I'm not talking about them leaving.
You're talking about the conferences themselves breaking up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about Vanderbilt being left behind. I'm talking about the programs that are not making money, that are not pulling their share of the weight, but that are still getting the same payout, getting sent away.
I'm going to say buy simply because the SEC's deal with ESPN runs through 2034.
That is a good point. And I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right too, because if like the Vanderbilts and the Northwesterns aren't part of their conferences, that means that we are absolutely blowing it up. And I don't want to see that. So I'm going to buy that Vandy's an SEC member at 2033.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. How good can your LSU Tigers be this year? I full disclosure, SEC Media Days, I have them winning the SEC. How good do you think LSU can be this year?
The SEC?
The SEC.
Not even just the SEC West?
The SEC. Got them winning the whole thing.
LSU Tigers Bobo, Robbie Stanley.
Where's your faith in your Tigers?
Big Caroline. Brian Kelly guy.
I've got faith in my Tigers, but I have learned this about myself, and I don't know if this is a quality about myself that I necessarily like, but it's okay, if you did it once, show me that you can do it again, and then I can have faith in you. It's the same approach that I have with Josh Heupel in Tennessee. You had a great season this past year, number one in the country for a week. You had college football playoff conversation. Show me that you can do it again. That's kind of how I feel about LSU. I think that the ceiling for this team is 12-0. You win the SEC West, and whatever happens in the SEC championship game, you know, you're going to make the college football playoff. And I think that the floor for this team could be 9-3 or 8-4. And if the floor for your team is 9-3, then it's pretty good. It's pretty solid. I just think that LSU is going into this season with so much continuity and with so few questions in an SEC that has so many questions. I got questions about Alabama and their quarterback situation and their coordinators. Now, I have questions about what Hugh Freeze can do at Auburn in year one. I've got questions about what Texas A&M really is. You know, is Jimbo Fisher really willing to take the back seat and let Bobby Petrino take care of the offense? I don't know. But there is a high likelihood that LSU is going into this season with the fewest questions and the most certainty of any team in the SEC. They've got a returning starting quarterback. They've got both of their coordinators returning, which there's only two teams in the SEC that have that, and it's LSU and Vanderbilt, returning their head coach. They're bringing back one of their top defensive players in Mason Smith, who tore his ACL in the Florida State game this past season. I think they have the top defensive player in the country in Harold Perkins, returning their leading receiver, returning their five leading rushers. And there's just a whole lot of retention this season. And I think that this team, this offense in year two under Brian Kelly, Jaden Daniels in his second year in the SEC, you're not going to see the skid and the slow start that you saw this past season. So I don't think it's crazy to talk about LSU potentially being in the college football playoff conversation. But if you were to ask me my, you know, legitimate prediction for this season, I would say 10-2.
Okay, what's your playoff?
Ooh, good question. Georgia, obviously. Michigan. Gosh, I can't say Alabama because I think they're going to have a slow start. I think they're going to lose to Texas, and I think they have another SEC loss. Ooh, along the way.
I like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
No USC?
Maybe USC. I don't believe in Lincoln Riley. If USC does get into the conversation, I don't think that they win at all. Again, with Lincoln Riley, you've gotten four cracks at it. You're 0-4 and all of your cracks in the college football playoff, and you've had a really good teams in all four of those bids to the CFP. It's hard for me to say. I think that there's going to be a Georgia, a Michigan, and maybe a USC thrown in there, and then I think there's going to be a complete surprise team.
I like
that. I mean, maybe it's LSU. I don't know if that's a surprise team or not, but I'm thinking more surprise team of like TCU. Like, nobody saw that coming. I think we're going to see that because I think that the Pac-12 is going to be cannibalistic and they're all going to beat up on each other. I think the Big Ten and the teams at the top, you know, the Penn States, the Michigans, the Ohio States, they're going to beat up on each other. So it's not going to be a matter of so few good teams. I think there's just going to be so many good teams that they all beat each other that it's going to open the door for a team that we're not talking about right now.
Caroline, what are your expectations for Joe Milton this year? Obviously, Hendon Hooker was just about as efficient as it gets when you look at the numbers as quarterback for Tennessee the last couple of years. So that's heavy shoes to fill for Milton coming in this year. But what do you think, how prepared do you think he is to step into that role?
I struggle with this, Robbie. I really do, because part of me looks at what he was able to do against Clemson, and he looked really good against Clemson. Dropped almost 60 on Vanderbilt at the end of the season this past year. A Vanderbilt team that was playing for something. And a Tennessee team that really, you know, after losing to South Carolina, I don't know how much they really had to play for. So I've seen so many good flashes from Joe Milton. I just can't seem to shake the fact that there have been a few games that he just absolutely pooped his pants in. I can't quite seem to shake the fact that he not only lost the starting job to Hendon Hooker at Tennessee, he also lost the starting job at Michigan. And I know that he lost those starting jobs because of injury. I just can't seem to shake the fact that he has gotten opportunities that he has lost. Now, this could be a new Joe Milton. The Joe Milton that we could see throughout the regular season could be more reflective of the Joe Milton we saw against Clemson. That was absolutely electric. I think that he's got a lot of really great offensive pieces around him. And when people ask, you know, what's going to be the difference between Tennessee being possibly an 11-1 and 10-2 team this year versus maybe 8-4 and 7-5, a lot of people say Joe Milton. And I think that's fair because he's a starting quarterback. You know, if you want to be different, you could say the defense. And I think that that's true. But also Tennessee didn't have a very good defense last year, and they still could have gotten to this college football playoff. When I think it comes down to it, the difference for this Tennessee team could be the receivers. You know, what does Joe Milton have to throw to? Do you have receivers that are quick enough to get 75 yards downfield? Because you've got a quarterback that can deliver it 75 yards downfield. I think for me, it comes down to his weapons, the receivers and the offensive line.
So when is Nico taking over?
We're going week 6.
Hot take. Hot take. Let's see. Let's pull up Tennessee's schedule. I think that Nico's in UConn.
Ooh, homecoming week.
After Kentucky.
I like you it. Are a bona fide Milton hater, a Bazooka Joe hater.
I'm not a Bazooka Joe hater.
We've
but
got
tell me what I am
now.
Supposed to be enamored about some guy that can throw an orange 100 yards. That's great and all, especially in this system. But show me that you can take care of the football. Show me that you can lead this offense. And show me that you can do it like Hendon Hooker did it.
I like it. UConn game. Write it down, Joe. Hey, Heupel said yesterday that Nico's ready to play. That's what he said.
I'm sure he did say that. I'm sure he did.
I know he did.
Caroline, great stuff
so
as always. Yes, we're all ready to play. Looking forward to this every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And obviously, you can check Caroline out every day here on 102.5 The Game starting at 11 o'clock. Caroline, thanks so much. And we'll be listening at 11.
We've got football this week.
We do.
I'm excited about it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We're going to get into what Joe had to say there. Some interesting thoughts from Joe on Vanderbilt and what their future could look like as things continue to shift on a day-by-day basis in the world of college sports. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I think that Nico's in UConn.
Ooh, homecoming week.
After Kentucky.
You are a bona fide Milton hater, a Bazooka Joe hater.
I'm not a Bazooka Joe hater.
Tell me what I am supposed
to be enamored about some guy that can throw an orange 100 yards. That's great and all, especially in this system. But show me that you can take care of the football. Show me that you can lead this offense. And show me that you can do it like Hendon Hooker did it.
I like it. Caroline Fenton, not a big fan of Joe Milton, Joe Rexroad. What do we think of that? That's a personal affront against us. A personal affront.
Yeah, that's, I tell you what, I mean, I think I've seen Joe Milton throw a football well. What if he just threw oranges, you know?
Be awesome.
I mean, actually, I will say that he could go on a barnstorming tour and just throw various objects.
I'd pay to see it.
Actually, it would be kind of cool.
Joe, how far do you throw this golf ball, you reckon? Let's figure it out.
Here, throw this. People just hand him, like, you know, like a golf cart or something. Oh my God, he threw that thing 40 yards.
We'll get a little bit more into the Vols coming up here in just a few minutes. Yet another gigantic win for Tennessee on the recruiting trail last night. So we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. I do want to focus in on something that you were talking about with Caroline in the last segment, and that is the ever-changing landscape of college football and what this could end up looking like for teams like Vanderbilt and like Northwestern and Rutgers. And I know David Ubben put out an interesting piece kind of related to this at theathletic.com. I know you've coming out with one today this morning on kind of a Vanderbilt perspective on this part of things. But the idea of the money coming in, obviously the Big Ten is becoming a super conference. The SEC is becoming a super conference. And you've got Texas and Oklahoma already joining the SEC. And now we're starting to think about, Joe, you know, what's that next phase of expansion going to look like? Is it going to be Florida State? Is it going to be Clemson? Like, what's that next part of it look like for the SEC and the Big Ten as they continue to stockpile? The Big 12 is basically just like rebranding, and they're adding new teams. The Pac-12 right now feels like it's about to just officially die as they move forward here. So it's a really interesting time in the college sports landscape. But what do you think all this means when you start to factor in the TV money and the big dollars that are coming along with all this? What do you think this means for the future of a team like Vanderbilt or a program like Vanderbilt? Because I remember, Joe, like the excuse used to be, like, we've talked about the idea of Vanderbilt and the SEC and what that looks like. And the thought process has always been, well, the academic institution that Vanderbilt is, the SEC will never disband Vanderbilt. But with the money that's coming in now, I don't know that that's a certainty at this point. What do you make of how all this sets up for Vanderbilt and what their future could look like in the SEC?
Yeah, shout out to Ubben, Chris Vanini, Andy Staples. A lot of people have been talking about this for a while, and honestly, I've just been like, it's not going to get to that. Shout out to Gentry Estes, too. We were at the Vanderbilt scrimmage a couple weeks ago, and he had written something, too. It was right after the Pac-12 crumbled. And I basically set out, like, you know, all right, so – first of all, I talked to a few different Vanderbilt people, but also I got a TV executive on the phone. He didn't give, you know, he didn't want to have his name in the piece, but this is an executive who has, for one particular network, obviously has worked on these deals, has actually had a hand in where things have gone. And I got to say, I've been naive, you know, and it's not the first thing in life that I've been naive about, but the key point that he made to me, which I hadn't thought of, but of course this is how it goes. Like, think about Texas and Oklahoma. You just mentioned them, Robbie. What did they do? They left, and it's only two teams leaving, but they left. They left the Big 12 to, well, we thought die. Actually, the Big 12 has done a good job of not dying and killing the Pac-12 instead. But they'd left them. And his point is, like, it's a bad, like, there's no way it's ever going to be like, Vanderbilt, what can we give you to leave the SEC? We'd like you to leave. His point is, you know what? The SEC is a huge brand. The Big Ten is a huge brand, but it doesn't mean that they have to exist forever. This new thing is basically the whatever it looks like, whoever it is, these top schools move on together to something new, and they leave behind the Vanderbilt. They leave behind the Mississippi State, the Rutgers, the Northwestern, you know, the schools that, look, to be fair, don't pull their weight in football, right? I mean, look, if this is going to come down to as simple as dollars and cents, what you bring in, great games, again, NFL light, then the football brands, that's all that matters. And so I've always been, I think naively now, of the mindset, like you just said, yeah, it's a great, they help the presidents feel better about the SEC because they got Vanderbilt. And also, by the way, Vanderbilt has great programs. They have arguably still the best baseball program in the country.
Yep.
They've had fantastic basketball, I mean, tennis, golf, whatever. Bowling's a national championship. Like, you have a really good athletic department outside of football, right? But I don't think that's going to matter. At this point, the way that they've cut this up, and they've just made it hilarious to talk about things like student athlete welfare. I mean, it's all laid bare now. And so if the TV people have their way, and that is the if, and I'm holding on to hope. And actually, when I asked Caroline about the SEC, I actually thought the deal was 32. But regardless, some of these deals are kind of all coming up around the early 30s.
Yep.
And that's when I think you would see this new iteration if it happens. I'm hoping common sense prevails and it doesn't happen. I'm not resolved to the idea that this is inevitable and 100% happening, but I am now resolved to the fact that it's going to be pushed hard and that people like this guy I talked to, they only look at it in terms of, you know, what's the football brand? Let's have a good every week, again, just like the NFL, right? Parity. You got a bunch of teams now that go 8-4, but they're in the playoffs, but they all play great games. There's no more crappy games. I mean, there's some things about it that I think some fans would like. Beyond Vanderbilt or whatever individual school you want to talk about, Robbie, I still believe that if it goes this way, the overall product will suffer. So many people who follow their teams and hold out hope that they can get, you know, to this high level and have a TCU season like last year, you know, if you're going to be completely disenfranchised, you're going to overall long-term hurt the product.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I really hate where this is going in college sports. I mean, I really do. And it's I don't know that you could put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. Obviously, dollars and cents is the driving force beyond all this, and I don't anticipate that changing as this moves forward here with the TV executives, with these conference commissioners, with presidents, all these things. What you just said is really interesting, though. Like, do you think there's a chance – do you think that, like, the SEC – basically disbands and it's not the SEC anymore and the Big Ten's not the Big Ten anymore and you're talking basically like conferences and divisions like we see in the NFL in college sports? Because I think some people think it's going that way and that just sounds terrible to me.
That's what this particular executive said. It's the only way he sees it happening is it just becomes this new thing. Again, I came up with the name NFL campus. You know, it's like you have NFL Europe, NFL Europe, NFL campus. All right. And obviously they can't use NFL. I understand right. That, but I'm just, yeah, but that's basically what it is, right? It's just like, it is just minor league football. I had not considered that, but he's like, his point was, look, SEC is a brand, Big Ten's a brand, but the brand is Alabama, Ohio State, et cetera, et cetera. And if you take all those schools and create something new with them where they're all playing each other, then you – I don't know what it's called, but that's how you move on from people. You just leave them. You don't try to get rid of them. You don't try to say, you need to get out. Like, that's – think about, like, the PR and just all the ramifications there. You just leave, and you create something new. And so, yeah, and the way he looks at it, and I had not thought of it in this way, I think maybe the actual SEC may not exist.
I do not like the sound of that. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on Vanderbilt, the future of college football. We'll get into a Tennessee recruiting battle that was won last night over Alabama and Texas again. So more good news for Josh Heupel. We'll see your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text the keyword EAGLE now to 615-737-1025. That's EAGLE to 615-737-1025 and enter for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. Taking your thoughts on the future of college football, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing? What's up, Joe?
What's up, buddy?
Joe, you there?
He's there.
I'm
there.
How you doing, man?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hey, Joe, Robbie, got a question I want to ask you all. With the way the landscape of college football is going, all this money being out here, and I do agree that, Joe, I think Vanderbilt's going to be on the outside looking in, Northwestern Vanderbilt, but do you see, with them going to similar things like the NFL model, do you see college football, these players ended up having a union with a union head and whatnot representing them? Do you see college football coming to that? I'm going to ask you that first, Joe.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, if it gets separated, which is, again, this is what, like, the Knight Commission has been saying needs to happen for years now, but no one listens to the Knight Commission. If they separate out from everything else and from the NCAA, then I think you can have revenue sharing of the revenue, actual, not just NIL, but like actual revenue sharing. And yeah, I think some kind of organized labor would be part of that too. I mean, I think, and I know a lot of people hear that and they're like, oh God, it sounds terrible. But if you have that in tandem with common sense leagues, mm-hmm. and other sports being able to function like they should and not be messed up so badly like they are right now by football, I think that's a better world than what we're looking at right now.
What about you, Robbie?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it going that way. I just, when you get to that part, they've been so hesitant to do that, and the NIL was supposed to be, you know, a way to regulate the money part of it without it. But what's happened with NIL is what we thought would happen with NIL, which is it's become a recruiting tool and all these different things, and coaches are hating it. Like Lane Kiffin got up at SEC Media Days a few weeks ago and basically the whole time was talking about NIL and how much he hates it and transfer portal and the way that college sports is now. So, I mean, they're going to have to do something at some point, Mark, just because I don't think the path that they're currently on is sustainable as they move forward.
Okay, and next question. Joe, you know, would it going that way and stuff, do you think this is the end of affecting the draft? I mean, the playoffs is getting ready to expand, so that means a longer schedule. It kind of looks like college football is going to end up playing a 15-16.
Yep, thanks for the call, Mark.
He kind of got broken up there. I think he was talking about a longer schedule. Yep. NFL. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the thing is, if you have all these rounds of playoffs, I mean, are you going to keep the conference title? Like, there's so many things. I don't know. I don't think it'll go to that extent. But, you know, again, is it still college football? Are people still going to class? Is there any consideration for that, all that? And, by the way, I'm glad Lane Kiffin. Now, I think Lane Kiffin has fair criticism of the portal. The portal has been the issue with NIL because it's also, like, the timing and the free agency. But,
right.
Lane Kiffin complaining about players getting money, but good thing Lane was never involved in any payment for players ever before in college football. That's never happened with Lane.
Well, of course it hasn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it's squeaky clean.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ryan. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, so I grew up in Knoxville. And for me, SEC football was what it was all about. You wake up Saturday mornings and you go, you know, to the campus, you're tailgating, you're doing all that. You know, with the NIL portal, with the NIL and the portal and all this talk and SEC keep growing, we're losing the camaraderie around, you know, the SEC, around the different divisions. You know, I don't see this doing us any favors. I think really, it's just discrediting college football and becoming another, you know, NFL or a paid-to-play kind of mentality. But would love your feedback on just the college camaraderie and kind of what this does to that.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it. I mean, look, John, I said it last segment, and this is part of why you and I got into it about the 12-team playoff thing. Like, college football, as we know it, is dead. Like, it's just dying. And I hate it. I cannot stand it, and it's not going to get any better as they move forward. I think we're moving closer and closer to exactly what you've been talking about, which is it's basically NFL light. And I think, you know, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. You know, I'm with you. I'm not 100% that, you know, eventually 10, 15 years down the road, like the SEC doesn't exist anymore, and it's just we move to a different system and a way of doing things. Maybe they find a way to keep, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten specifically, or the super conferences that are being made right now. But there's no question that the college football part of it that most of us grew up watching and loving, we're never getting that part of it back. And I'm torn on it, Joe, because I've always, at least I say always, at least for the last 10 years or so, the fact that players haven't been paid has bothered me. And I've always felt like college football players have deserved the opportunity to get paid. Now that NIL has happened, I don't know the best way to go about doing that as they move forward here, but there's no question, like, to Ryan's point there, like, the college football, that you grew up with, Joe, and that I grew up with, I mean, it's not coming back. The toothpaste is out of the tube at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, to me, it's, and look, yeah, I do like 12 over four, but that's so, that's compared to all this stuff. I mean, that's still kind of a minor change, right? I mean, yeah. I hate the idea of like this idea that this executive talked about and that they talk about with in these boardrooms where they really run college sports, which is, look, the end of someone on the text line was like, oh, I don't want to see everybody go 75 a year. I'm like, yeah, I hear you, but that is what the NFL wants, exactly that. They want everybody to be 9-8, everybody to be in the playoff hunt in well into December, right? You want every market to be engaged and for everybody to have a chance. And so that's one thing that they're going to. Now, look, I will say on behalf of this particular executive, he did say, look, I do worry about long term. If you cut out big tracts of the country, what does that mean? The yep. overall popularity of the sport. So, I mean, like, there is some consideration of that, but still, if the money is so ridiculous, I still don't see people making anything but the short term decision that, by the way, makes them individually rich. You know, that's the thing. There's a small group of people who are getting extremely rich off all this stuff. So one thing on Vanderbilt too is Vanderbilt's investing in football for the first time in a century. So right. Can Vanderbilt turn things around and win enough in the next decade to change the view of them as a football brand? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I guess that's the only advice I would give for any of these schools right now, like at the bottom of these, of those two leagues in particular. You better start being really good soon. I would advise you to be really good soon.
See if you can win some games. Yes, that would be good advice. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Steven. Steven, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So in regards to this whole, like, you know, how college football is absolutely changing, we got Eastern teams going in, or Western teams out west, joining a air quote Eastern Conference and whatnot. And how it may continue to change and whatnot. And you're talking about, like, you know, Vandy on the outside looking in from the SEC, and people are talking about all sorts of future realignments and it all yada yada. Have you guys heard about, I saw this on the socials, and I mean, in the way that if college football continues to change, the whole do away with the with conferences, which I know will probably not happen because you want I know the commissioners and all the conference heads want to keep their jobs in that department. But have you heard of, like, the European League realignment, where it's like you have tiers of like 14 to 16 teams in each tier, and like the top tier, the champion of that league will get like the national championship crown, but then each subsequent league, they'll have their, you know, championship game, but it'll just be of that league. And then like the top two of that league go up the next tier, and then the bottom two go down the next tier.
Yeah. Relegation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It completely does away with the conferences, which is probably the biggest, you know, stick in that particular wheel spoke. But I mean, is that possibly where we're heading? Because I understand with the NFL, you have 32 teams. In college football, you have 130-plus teams. And I don't think you can do an NFL model with as many teams as you have in college. I know it does away with all the historical rivalries, but at the same time, what are they going to do? What else are they going to do if they're going to continue to mismatch and grow conferences out past how many games you can play in a freaking season, you know?
Yep. I appreciate the call, Steven. Well, we're real quickly on that, Joe. I hear what he's saying, talking about the 130 football teams. They don't care about that. They care about 50, and that may be too much. Yeah. Like, 50 is about what they care about.
One quick thing to add, you know, that Super League was attempted, remember?
Yep.
It was like the absolute best of the best, and everybody was like, screw you, we love that Leicester can come up and win every once in a while, right? So, I mean, it was good to see Europe reject basically what we're talking about here with college football. So people, write your TV executive and conference commissioner, yes, some letters starting now.
Joe, very quickly, Tennessee with a commitment last night from a five-star edge rusher, Jordan Ross, committing to Tennessee over Alabama and Texas, among others. But with this bump, Tennessee now up to number 6 and the 24/7 recruiting ranking. It's a big get for Tennessee on the defensive side of the ball last night.
And that's the thing. They're getting elite defensive guys. You know, he's not the only one. I mean, I know 24/7 has him as the number 12 overall player in the country. Like, that's legit beating out top-tier programs for someone. So I'm very interested this year and beyond in how good this defense can be under Heupel.
Coming up next, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Is Gen Z really difficult to work with?
Yeah.
Breaking news, old people think young people are lazy. Story at 11. Might as well be breaking news, old man yells at clouds. And I especially like that it said that they're easily offended.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joe, the floor is yours. I yield.
Thank you, but I got to ask Nick, what's that from?
What is that from? Well, that's just another way I can segue into your rant, Joe, because you're going to be talking about your daughter this morning.
No, I understand why you did. I'm just wondering. I just don't know what it was from.
Oh, I just literally YouTubed anything I could possibly find about Gen Z, and that's what I found.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So I had this great tweet I was going to do this weekend, but then it's like, do I even want to tweet anymore, you know? But I had this great tweet idea, which was, we are now officially the parents of three teenagers.
We made it.
And we just had a birthday party with 18 kids, 13 of them sleeping in a huge tent in our backyard. And then along with that was like would be a picture of me holding a bottle of my favorite bourbon, you know, just like, yes, this is how I'm coping with this. I didn't end up sending it, but I thought it would have been a cool idea. So yeah, so we had this party and it was kind of wild, and it was like flashlight tag. And, you know, a lot of kids getting out of the house all night. And, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to watch the Titans and Nashville SC. And I got, you know, all this chaos going on. You got some boys came over, were throwing stuff at the tent, you know, like flirt with the girls. And the girls, like, chase them down the street. And all this stuff's happening, all this drama. But, you know, ultimately, it was fine. They were great. They're great kids. My daughter turned 13. Yeah, I think she had a great party. It was really good. I have one beef with the whole thing. Okay.
Okay.
And when we went to buy things like little bags of chips and all this stuff, for, you know, you got a cake, whatever, but snacks and stuff. And they got pizza, of course. But my wife said, you know, do not buy large, you know, bottles or cans of pop. And yes, we call them pop in my home.
I know you do.
You got to get the smallest, tiniest little, because like all the, what do kids do? They take two sips out of something and leave it. Like, You're right. That's a great call. So when I went shopping, Caroline and I went shopping, you know, I'm like, find the smallest thing. So we got the tiny little baby cans, right? I mean, like little baby cans that for me, I crack it open. It's like, oop, it's gone. Okay. Little baby cans of different brands. And the next day, there were about 73 of them, and they were three quarters full.
Oh, yeah. It drives
like,
me nuts.
How do you open something? Like, don't you need, like, if you open something, don't you want to drink it? You're eating food. Why? How would you, like, not one person finish one. I swear to you, there is not one can that I was, oh, that one was finished. They all had to be poured out. Like, how is that possible? Is this some kind of epidemic? I mean, like, in my day, I'd crush an entire 2-liter. I put it down.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a 40 in college, it wasn't 39 ounces that were gone from the 40, okay? Those last warm, disgusting ounces were gone from the bottle. In fact, a couple times, I had a 64 of OE. And if anybody knows what a 64 of OE is, the last 15 ounces are absolute hell, but by golly, I muscled through them, okay? And these kids can't drink a 4-ounce can of Sprite?
It's disappointing.
That's all I got for you. I'm just absolutely fearful for the future of humanity.
Well, it drives me nuts. I mean, you both know I've got a tremendous problem with Diet Coke. Like, it's a drug, and I'm addicted. And I've been trying to find different ways to wean myself off, and it's just not happened at this point. So, like, the concept of opening a bottle of Diet Coke or, you know, I'm a big Sprite guy, love Dr. Pepper, any of those things, and not finishing it just doesn't compute with me. And I tried to think back, like, when I was a kid, did I ever used to do that? And I'm sure I probably did on occasion, but not for the most part. Those things were just down, man. You finish those things, then you move on to the next one. It was my youngest brother. I was at my parents' house, and, like, he's got his little space, and there's, like, five bottles of Diet Coke that are just, like, three-quarters of the way full. It's like, hey, you think you might want to finish, like, maybe one of them, and then you can move on to the next one and then go from there. That'd be good.
Yeah. By the way, I need to Robert says, so you hold up a bottle of bourbon in front of a bunch of kids showing how to deal with stress? That's great, Joe. No. The tweet would have just been like me by myself holding the bottle.
Yeah, they wouldn't have seen it.
I wasn't showing the kids anything. God.
Here's some bourbon, children.
Kids, someday, if things get rough, here's my brand.
And let me tell you what, this bottle's going to be finished.
Exactly. There will not be a drop of liquid left in this bottle. Let me show you how to do it.
It is amazing.
Like Fire Marshal Bill.
I know exactly.
Or Fire Marshal Bob?
Yeah. I know exactly which like cans you're talking about. Like for me, it's almost like a shot glass. I take like two sips and it's gone. So it's amazing to me that these were opened and that they weren't finished.
I know. Like one kid, finish it. One kid is all I ask. Finish your 4-ounce drink. I mean, and of course, then it's like, well, don't they want to get hydrated? Of course, pop dehydrates you. So
it does.
Also good parenting on our part. Here's a bunch of sugar and soda for you. But you know,
did they finish?
At least I did not give them bourbon.
Did they at least finish the pizza? Like, or did we just go like halfway on everything?
Well, look, this is a Rex Road Family epidemic where whatever it is, however, whatever the group of people is, we overorder by at least two full pizzas. So you know that happened.
Did you get any of the pizza?
I mean, believe me, the last couple of days I've tried to take a chunk out of the pizza. So,
well, Joe's had a little bout with gout, so I think he should stay away from hot dogs and pizza for quite a bit of time and soda.
I heard Joe's gout was a very popular topic of conversation while I was gone with a certain Paul Kaharsky.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you got gout, do you? Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I know pizza's okay for gout as long as it's not like Meat Lovers pizza. Now, if it's Meat Lovers, then you gotta eat. If it's got like sausage, bacon, and pepperoni, then that's a little gouty. But you know, regular slice of pizza, you're fine.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rex.
Wonderful segment this has been.
You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they head into the final week of the preseason. Coming up this week, we'll do that next. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. 1025 The Game app as week zero of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 1063 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.